spirit to spirit hello. And welcome to Golden Road Psychic Radio. Starring me, Dr. Lauren Cielo. Let's do this. Hello, and welcome to the relaunch of Golden Rose Psychic Radio with an all-new format. I'm Dr. Lauren Cielo, and I'm going solo. Uh-oh, watch out. Tonight, I'm going to tell you all about the new show lineup and, of course, do lots of readings. Also, I'd like to invite all of the listeners to call in if you'd like to get a reading. The number is 718-766-4194, or get into the blog talk radio chat with producer Pele. And if you do get a chance to talk with Pele tonight, make sure you ask her for my free book. It's entitled The Power of Energy, and we'd like to get that over to you. All right, so what better way to start our new show then with a new segment? It's a commentary segment that I call What I Find Interesting.
I'm Dr. Lauren Cielo, and I'm going to tell you what I know. I'm Dr. Lauren Cielo, and I'm going to tell you what I know. I'm clairvoyant, third I can see. It comes down to my own POV. Don't mean to be disrespectful, but this is what I find interesting. I'm Dr. Lauren Cielo, and I'm going to tell you what I know. I'm clairvoyant, third I can see. It comes down to my own POV. Don't mean to be disrespectful, but this is what I find interesting. I'm Dr. Lauren Cielo, and I'm going to tell you what I know.
All right, that's my new rap. How do you like that? It's my POV, my point of view, what I find interesting. Now, this I recorded this morning, and you can tell that I just woke up, but I thought I should play it to you live. It's what I found interesting today. Here we go.
It all started while I was scooping the box in some Islamic...
The litter box.
I-bomb or whatever they're called was all of a sudden talking to me. And he was trying to justify the way his religion was. And almost in a knee-jerk way, I responded as if it was a teaching moment. And I said, "You don't really believe that. You don't really believe those things. And if the power had was shifted, you wouldn't be able to continue to believe those lies." And I showed him the picture of, instead of being in his little cave or hut with all the men behind him that have guns enforcing his religion, that if he was sitting here with a psychologist in the United States talking about where these ideas of his have really sprung from, that it would be a different story. And I don't know why he came to talk to me. I have no idea who he is. It happens all the time. So I showed him those pictures. And then after I laid back down, after the kitty feeding ritual, I started thinking more about religion and gods. And I'm having a hard time mentally and emotionally integrating these, well, the most harsh religion that I'm aware of from my little microcosm, and that's ISIS. And so, I can physically understand it, because if they come near me and threaten me, I would attempt to kill them in survival. I physically understand that. I've had Homo sapiens before. Had them come and go. So, and I can spiritually completely understand. It's just contracts, just karma and contracts. I totally get it. But emotionally and mentally, if I'm very far away from them physically, I think I can start to work some understanding in those two parts of me. But if they're up close to me, like, you know, no, I don't. And ultimately, this led me to the next thought. I want you to let God go. It makes me uneasy that you have a God. All of you. I have suffered the guilt of Yahweh. I still do, in some unconscious ways, being raised Christian. I want the born-agains, the evangelists, to stop thinking that a part of God would come here, and if we killed it, then we would be forgiven for the transgressions of a garden. I want you to let that go. I want the Muslims to let go of a faceless prophet. There's only one energy. If you pull out as far as is infinitely possible and look at what's going on here, there's only one thing. And I'm tired of the separation. I'm tired of feeling separate. I'm tired of not being able to mentally or emotionally understand. And they, the religious, they can't mentally or emotionally understand their gods either, or they wouldn't be so frightened and wreak havoc on a calm planet. So let your God die and join the one energy. If you need a God, go look in the mirror. Do that or get off my planet. I'm ready. I'm ready for the split. Let God die so that we can all.
That's my POV. Woohoo! You know what? I'd like to read for you. Maybe a clairvoyant reading? A house or business clearing? Maybe a one-question email? Or a celestial introduction? To book with me, go to laurencielo.com or goldenrosepsychic.com. I look forward to working with you. All right, if you'd like to get a reading tonight, I'd love to read for you. All you have to do is call in 718-766-1494 or jump into chat with producer Pele. Don't forget to ask her for my free book. Also, I want to let you know that along with the new format, the readings have changed as well. I'm going to attempt to do 5 readings a show, and it's going to be a generic reading just for you. What we call in my technique, a rose reading. That way I'll be able to get to read more of you each and every week. So if you're interested, make sure you talk with producer Pele. All right. As you can see, you're starting to see maybe a little different part of me than you're used to with that sleepy commentary on giving God up. You know, that happens to me a lot when, you know, I'm doing some mundane thing. Like, I'm not sure if you got on that audio that I was scooping the litter box, my morning ritual. And like I said, all of a sudden I was talking to this imam or imam, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it. And in just a split second, all of that commentary transpired. I think that might happen to psychics a lot. And I also think it probably happens to you a lot. So along with another fun new segment. Whoa! Yeah, I like all the music in this day. Welcome to Swallowing Our Tail. Welcome to a new segment called Swallowing Our Tales. It features topics and stories that intersect science and spirituality. And, you know, anybody that knows me knows this is one of my favorite fields of interest, and I actually teach from this perspective, too, that science and spirituality have really come together. So I focused on two different stories that I wanted to share with you that I got off the internet. The first one is, it's about dolphins and the healing properties of dolphins. And you've probably heard about this before, but what I find so fascinating about it is that, I don't seem to have the right papers in front of me. All right. So the healing properties of dolphins. So basically what happens is the sonar that dolphins have bounce through water. And they and since our bodies are almost 90% water, whenever beings with bodies need a healing, especially autistic children, they've really noticed a shift in. So just by being in the water and having the dolphins almost irradiate you, because that's really what sonar is, it's radiation. What happens is it actually changes the water in your space. So I don't seem to have the article in front of me right now that I wanted to refer to. Hang on, let me check again. Ah, here we go. I found it. So scientists are considering the possibilities that the sonar of dolphins actually triggers the healing process, increasing T cells and endorphins. In some cases, scientists suggest that dolphins actually have the ability to target areas in the human body with their sonar and repair the damage. Isn't that interesting? So more and more, especially living on the coast here in San Diego, I find this research fascinating. There's a couple references if you're interested in this healing technique. I would point you to aquatichthought.com, also islanddolphincare.org. One other one that sounded pretty cool to me was Water Planet USA. So if you're interested in where science and spirituality meet in this idea of dolphins changing the composition of the human field with their sonar. Those might be some references that you might want to check out. All right, next up. Now, all of my students know that I love this, so I'm going to talk about the double slit experiment. Let's see here. So one of the things that I tell my students that we learn to read is really particles, right? Since I came from engineering, I've got such a hard science background. What I think I'm looking at is the quantum level, where everything is just made out of energy. So if you've ever taken a physics class, you've probably heard of the double slit experiment. Basically, what happens is scientists cut two slits in a plate, a metal plate, let's say, and they started to shoot electrons through the two slits, right? And different things happened to the electrons based on if there was a camera recording. So in other words, what it looked like was this metal plate with two slits that were exactly the same size. And then there was a film behind the plate. And as the electrons hit the plate, only the ones that were in the slots or the slits would actually go through to the film behind. So it was really easy to see the pattern. Well, there was one pattern when there was no camera recording and no one was in the room, just turning the machine on and walking away. If a camera was hooked up or someone was watching, the particles acted differently. Isn't that interesting? And so the photons acted like particles 93% of the time when they were observed. So these particles they were looking at were actually photons. And if you've ever taken physics, that's the thing about a photon. Sometimes it acts like a particle, and sometimes it acts like a wave. So if someone was watching or a camera, 93% of the time the photon acted like a particle. So even if the particle was guessing at the configuration of the test each time, the experiment, if somebody was observing or not, in other words, then statistically, it would have never been more than maybe 52% accurate. Do you see that the photons would have only acted like particles 52% of the time if they were just guessing whether they were being observed? But in the experiments, they acted this way 93% of the time when they were watched. So what do you think that means? Well, matter acts both as a wave and a particle depending on whether it's being observed. So do you know what that means in my field? What that means is that if I observe your particles, they will start acting differently. The particles that make up your physical body, your chakras, and your aura. That blows me away. And in our technique, anytime something changes or shifts, we call that a healing. Another implication of this test is that observations affect the outcome of experiments and therefore, get this, make the scientific method faulty. So basically, if you are watching an experiment with an intended outcome, you'll influence the experiment. There is no hard science. Isn't that crazy? And then finally, the third implication for me, and I love this one. We don't know very much about what's going on in the universe. I love that. And so science can never, ever really be an exact science. All right. So you can Google double slit theory or experiment, and you can actually see it's a little, the best known one's a little cartoon character that I think you'll enjoy. So so again, if I observe you, your particles will change. And in my technique, that change we like to call a healing. So if you have any stories you'd like me to cover about where science and spirituality merge, go ahead and email me. info@goldenrosepsychic.com would definitely hit my email box. What? What's that? Oh, I see. It's time for the good news, yet another new segment I've been really excited about. And this segment comes to you from the folks at 3Point Virtual. They are the engine that drives Golden Rose online presence and internet solutions. And if you're thinking about starting a small business or want to make your small business into a bigger business, please contact Rich Mitchell, a friend of the show and CEO of 3Point Virtual, via his website, the number 3PTVirtual.com. When you speak to Rich, ask him about getting a Golden Rose discount on your website. And thanks, Rich, again for sponsoring this segment of the show. So this is the good news. I'm not one much to watch news on television because everyone knows it's bad news. So I actually visited the Huffington Post today, and I got some little tidbits that I just wanted to read you to make you feel good for a change. So here's one. Retired nurse uses pension money to help provide meals for 7,000 hungry people each month. So, let's see. Oh, gosh, my printing looks really bad. It's Charlotte Treadwell, 69, from Fort Smith, Arkansas. She worked for more than 40 years as a nurse before retiring. She's the director of the Antioch Consolidated Association for Youth and Family. It's a Fort Smith-based social services agency that she founded in 2000. Let's see if I can get you a URL for her. Let's see. I'll just give you her name again. It's Charlotte Treadwell. So here's a retired nurse that's using her own pension money to feed those that are hungry. It's kind of a heartwarming story. I have another one. Beloved literature teacher wins $1 million award, donates all to improve education methods. And this one is in Dubai. An English teacher from rural Maine won a $1 million Global Teachers Prize on Sunday after 42 years as an innovator and pioneer in teaching literature. Now, let me see if I can get her name because my printer kind of printed over it. I can see her last name is Atwell. Let's see. Let me click through here. Let's see, I can't quite see her first name, but I'll give you a good URL to where you can read more about this Good Samaritan. It's globalteacherprize.org. Atwell said that winning the award is a valedictorian for her life work, but her true validation comes from the response of the students. I really find that I'm validated every day just by the experiences I have with children in the classroom, she told the Associated Press after receiving the award. She was selected from a pool of 1,300 applicants from 127 countries. The top finalists, which include two other teachers from the United States, others from Afghanistan, India, Haiti, Cambodia, Kenya, and the UK. So the winners were announced on stage by Sunny Varkey, the founder of the nonprofit Varkey Foundation that focuses on education matters, and founder of the nonprofit GEMS, G-E-M-S Education Company, that has more than 130 schools around the world. So, yeah, check that out. Also, check out the Huffington Post. It's the good news. I got one more for you I want to mention. And it's kind of been in the news lately. More hospitals are accepting breast milk donations for babies who aren't getting enough. And, of course, this puts breastfeeding and breast milk right into the limelight. And, you know, it has been coming in and out of, the mainstream media. But I'll tell you what I really find interesting. And I read this about, oh, gosh, I don't even know how long ago, that in a hospital, a nurse accidentally heated breast milk in a microwave before giving it to a baby. And the baby didn't do so well after that. I can't really remember. Maybe it was an urban legend, but it was enough of a legend to get me to throw my microwave away. I haven't used a microwave in, oh my gosh, probably 15 years. So I really like this, you know, putting breastfeeding back in the forefront of, I don't know, men's faces, maybe? So let me see if I can read you a little bit of this story. One Massachusetts nonprofit is helping hospitalized babies reap the benefits of consuming breast milk, and its services are in high demand. It's Mother's Milk Bank Northeast. They screen and pasteurize milk donated from women and works with hospitals to ensure preemie babies and other infants are in need in the neonatal intensive care units that need access to it. So let's see if I can get you a good URL here if you're more interested in getting involved or maybe. Let's see, I'm going to find one here. All right, here we go. It's Milk Bank NE, and that's northeast.org. Milkbankne.org. All right, you guys, that's some of the good news that's going on around the internet anyway. If you've got some good news articles, and you know, it can even be local good news from your neck of the woods, I'd love to hear more about it. So email me, like I said. We want this show to be what you guys want to hear besides what I want to blab about. And again, you might notice that I'm a little bit different than you're used to. Here in a moment, I'm going to give you the rundown of how Golden Rose has changed, how I've changed, and how you'll start to see it in the format of the show just a little bit more. Thousands of people to use their psychic abilities, and I'd like to train you too. Over the last decade, I have created a process that will help you become a professional psychic. I'll help you learn to read, I'll teach you to teach others to read, and I'll help you create an online business. For more information, go to laurencielo.com and click the training tab. I'd love to be your teacher. All right, you guys. Okay, let me tell you what happened to Golden Rose. I'm not even sure why I created Golden Rose in the first place. You know, I wanted it to be a team because I come from teams. All my athletic, all my engineering experience has always been in a team setting. So over the decade that I've been doing this, the healers and teachers of Golden Rose have expanded and contracted. But unfortunately, I never seem to be able to bring people to a space to stand next to me, might be the way to say it. And as many of you know, the new format is just me because Victoria Bustillos, my very dear friend, had some changes in her life and she's redefining her goals. And I think the little baby clock is ticking. So hopefully we'll have good news from Victoria and her girlfriend soon. So best wishes to you. But I've got a confession to make. It's about Ishtar. I have only let you see part of me. And the new format of the show is to really maybe come out of the closet a little bit more about who I really am. And Ishtar is a good example. There were things I needed to say, ways I needed to say them, that I didn't think I could as Dr. Lauren Cielo, so I fabricated Ishtar the Golden Witch. And my very good friend and producer of the show, Pele, offered her face and voice to the role. So, all of the incantations, all of the Ask Ishtar segments, all of the spells that were custom created through the healer, Ishtar, Golden Rose, was me. And when Victoria decided to step to the side, it really didn't see much point in keeping the fictitious Ishtar around, so she resigned as well. So, who is the real Lauren Cielo? Well, that's a pretty darn good question. I'm still trying to figure that out. But let me tell you a few things about me that maybe you didn't know. I don't consider myself lesbian. Don't consider myself gay. I don't really consider myself transgendered, although that's probably the best word that you would have for me now with that word coming into the cultural consciousness with Chaz Bono and Bruce Jenner. But I'm a little bit different than that. I consider myself to be gender queer, might be a good word for it. Plus, I get to say the word queer. I really perceive myself to be neither man or woman. My body is very female, but I don't really think I'm either gender. I sit in the middle. And I think that gives me a unique perspective. What my students might know is I've blown the dichotomy on gender. I've blown the dichotomy on left and right brained thinking. I think with both, they're merged now. I've blown the dichotomy of good and bad, positive and negative. I'll be really honest. Things bug me. And I'll tell you what bugs me about positive and negative. If you're working with a healer and they tell you you have negative energy in your space, I feel that that is condescending to you. And I'll tell you why. Because I feel that energy is energy. It doesn't have an attribute of good or bad. In other words, 5 volts is no better than 12 volts. You just use them in different times. In a circuit. So it's all about a continuum. If I put myself down onto a continuum and I look one way, I might think that in that direction there are good things. If I look down the other direction of the continuum, I might think there's bad things or negative things. So I have to set myself on the gradient to be able to see the dichotomy of good and evil. And I don't see that anymore. What I do see is souls who are signing contracts with one another to have experiences to grow. And if someone tells you that an experience or energy is negative in your space, that's invalidating your experience and your energy. For me, if I did put myself on the continuum of negative and positive energy, most people I would look at would be negative to me. That's what I'm saying. My vibration is much higher than a lot of people. And for me to say from my vantage point that their energy, their vibration is negative, that's condescending. So maybe the next time you hear yourself or your healer start to talk about negative energy and positive energy, maybe you'll remember what someone like Dr. Lauren Cielo tells you about blowing the dichotomy, getting off the gradient, just step off of it. And honor all of the energy. In my technique, we see two types of energy, your energy and someone else's. So someone else's energy in your space is probably non-beneficial, but it doesn't mean that it's negative. So I might ask you to step into the center of dichotomies with me just a little bit. Of course, you don't have to be genderqueer. You don't even have to leave an engineering job to become a psychic. You don't do anything that extreme. But maybe over the next week, and as I reveal more of myself to you, maybe you'll start blowing the dichotomies on both ends as well and settling down in the middle. I don't know. Maybe something to think about. All right. I hope you're enjoying the new format. Pretty soon it'll be old school to me. I'm really enjoying it. Uh-huh. That is the music producer Pele picked to shift Lauren Cielo into reading space. Woo! Yeah. I hope you're in the reading queue. Here we go. All right. I totally dig that music. I am totally ready to read. All right. First up, let's see. First up, I don't see number one. Hang on just a second. Hang on just a second, folks. I'm having a hard time seeing the number one reedy. Okay, well, here we go. All right, we're going to start with Stacy. All right, maybe Producer Bailey will type them into chat and I'll be able to see their names. First up is Stacy. All right, Stacy, hang on, let me say hello to you. Stacy, you're really in a mental state. Sorry. You're all yellow today, honey. And what you're talking about with this yellow energy is right now your spiritual information is really peaking, okay? And unfortunately, or fortunately, it's clouding your mental agility here on the planet, here on planet Earth. So let's see what my guide's going to say about that. Hang on. So let me say it again. You're receiving so much spiritual information right now that you're, like in the right brain, the right hemisphere of your brain, that the left side can't figure anything out. So if you find yourself not being able to draw conclusions or make decisions, this would be definitely a sign of spiritual overload that mental body can't quite process yet. But we're going to give you a remedy. Hang on. I'm going to talk to Anki Yaya. That's my healing master. Of course, he's the one that does all the healing. So he's going to be your best friend for a while and follow you around and help you. Now, I feel that this cycle is going to last about 3 weeks for you. And also you might actually feel some energy on the left side of your head or even in your left ear. He says left. Okay, so left side of your head or left ear, you might feel some buzzing or you know how your ear goes, like that sometimes. You might feel that over the next 3 weeks as this settles out. Now, once it does, you enter a creative mode, a creative cycle, where all of a sudden, all of the spiritual information that's been downloaded that you really couldn't do anything with, all of a sudden ignites the creative aspect of yourself. So, and that runs for quite some time, almost 4 months. All right. So, a mental clarity clears as soon as the information stops being downloaded, and then you'll enter the creative stage. And again, my healing master, Anka Yaya, will be with you. You can read more about him on the Golden Rose Psychic website. And you can just call him Ankh if you want to because he's Egyptian. The other half of his name comes from a Mayan lifetime, but he'll be there to help you out as you become more mentally clear. All right. So thanks so much, Stacy, for hanging in there in the queue. All right. Let's see. All right. Next. All right. Next is Keisha. All right. So hang on. Let's take a look at Keisha. Hang just a second. Okay, Keisha, right now you're foundation shifting, honey, and you're not sure what it's going to be. All right, so we're going to clear. Okay, it's spirituality. It's going to be spirituality. All right, so this is what I saw. Underneath you, you showed me that you're standing on a foundation of white energy right now, okay? And so in my technique, white is called unconscious energy. It means you don't know what's under it. It covers things. So think about it. Your life is standing on a foundation that you didn't know what it was. So now we cleared the white away, and it's a deep, deep purple. So for you, honey, maybe the message is dust off your spiritual path, purpose, and practice. That's usually what purple means. Maybe you'll pick some things from your religious path or others' religious paths, maybe some from spiritual traditions that you've learned about, combining them all, though, into your own foundation. And that's what I think the key is. That's why maybe you didn't really weren't aware of what your foundation was, because you've been, I don't know, maybe relying on other people's information. And I'll give you a good example. With my training, I teach students exactly the way I was taught, or I try best to. Right now, of course, they're going to change it to fit them, right? And I encourage them to do that. So that's almost what I want to say for you right now is, and the foundation of your life right now, although you might have been confused before, it is your spiritual path, practice, and purpose. What you put on top of that foundation once you've built it out, and I'll give you time on that, it's a year, it's this whole year that you're doing that. What you put onto it, and you don't wait the whole year to start doing this, as you're building out this foundation of spiritual path, practice, and purpose, you start to self-heal. That's why you're building out the foundation, is to set your self-healing on. So again, this is a year-long process for you. So let's see what I can recommend. You know what? As soon as I ask Uncle Yaya what I can recommend at Golden Rose that might help you, I'm going to point you to the Moonday meditations that are on our SoundCloud account. There's almost 90 that I did, and there's on all topics. They're just little 15 or 20-minute meditations, and they're free to listen to, or I believe you can download them. So I would point you to that over this next year, a great free resource that might help you as you're determining what your spiritual path, practice, and purpose are, so that you can you think that if you do that, if you redefine that part for yourself, that your self-healing exercises and therapies will be more beneficial, is what you say. So I hope that helps. All right, let's rock and roll. Moving on now to Carrie. Carrie, honey, thank you so much. Now, Carrie, you're all about, you don't even give me a chance to finish up the last reading before you come charging in with your beautiful orange energy. But, honey, I want to not so much warn you, but remind you that I'll tell you what orange is first. It's fast transformative change energy. And so you can see that it could be disconcerting or unsettling to have everything change really quick. And this is how you're running this energy, because the orange energy is pointy. It's pointed, meaning that your transformative change will, you know, be at times challenging. Okay, so let's see if we can fix that. All right, yeah, we can. You totally let the picture change. So hang on now. I don't understand how the picture, I see how the picture changed, but I don't understand what it means. So hang on, let me talk to Anki Yaya. Oh, you're too hard on yourself. Actually, when you attempt to shift and change with so much effort and zest and zeal and impatience, it actually has the opposite effect, and it slows things down. It backs up the transformative change and makes it abrupt. So I'm going to give you the picture of a log jam. Okay, so I feel that you're too hard on, here we go with the analogy. Your goal is to get as many logs down that river as you can, as efficiently as you can, right? And you're really hard on yourself about how it goes down, how it happens. You're so concerned about doing it right that it creates a log jam at times, because there's so much energy focused on the how to do it. And you're very hard on yourself about doing it right, okay? But if instead you just focus on realizing that the logs are moving in the fashion that seems to be like the cadence of the universe, like the tempo of the Earth's heartbeat, you say, I love how you say that, that actually makes the endeavors more efficient. So maybe if it were me, I always do that, right? I always think, well, what's that information going to tell me? If it were me and somebody told me that in a reading, I would go back to the things that I'm trying to change in my life, and I've been trying to change for a really long time, and I've become impatient for the shift to happen. And I would go back to those things, and I'd realize that maybe the shift that I'm looking for doesn't have to be, I don't have to be so hard on myself about what the outcome is. I can just allow everything to change just a little bit with every beat of my heart. See, so I think that's what it is. So all of the revolution and the evolution that you're seeking in your life, my friend, comes best when you're not so hard on yourself about the way things are done. Just focus on a smooth outcome seems to be it. So I hope that helps you. All right, moving on. Let's see, we've got some more time. Oh, yeah, we're doing really good on the time. Okay, let's see. The next is Yvette. All right, so let's take a look at Yvette. Okay, Yvette, you've got an energy hanging out behind you that's going, if you continue to leave it there, it's going to make you more of a healer than you already are. So what you show is a lot of light blue energy that you're standing in. This is a self-healing phase. My light blues always mean self-healing. But there's a prospect standing behind you. It's lapis blue. I love lapis. I'm actually holding a piece of lapis right now while I read. It's dark blue. And so indigo blue might be a good way to say it. So this specter or this vision or this a potentiality, you're still holding on to. Even as I talk about it, you leave it sit right there. So, yeah, and let me tell you what I mean by the healer. It doesn't mean that you're nice to people. It doesn't mean that you are in servitude to people. Some of my best healers have been the people that have been hardest on me, you know, like maybe athletic coaches or, mentors at work or something like that. So remember what a healing means. If you listen to some of the stuff I was saying at the beginning of the show, it just means to make a shift. So to be a healer sometimes means just allow people to shift, or just you keep shifting and be an example to them. So that's what I feel, and I've been talking about all this, watching how you'll react. And guess what? You haven't. You're still majority light blue with this specter potentiality of indigo blue behind you. So what that tells me is you don't know how to be a healer. You don't know how to fulfill that role yet, right? I think there's still some soul wisdom that you're trying to gain through the light blue that's going to help you understand on a deeper level what your role as a healer is. And definitely right now, my friend, your role as a healer on the planet is to heal yourself. That's what I'm saying. Heal yourself and the rest will become known to you. And let me give you a time on that. 3 months. If it resonates with you, focus on yourself for 3 months, right? Like if you go for a long walk, tell your inner children that they're going to get a little scoop or a little spoonful of ice cream. All right, so really pay attention to yourself. Be a good parent to your inner children for the next 3 months and watch how this self-healing that you're doing, all of a sudden you'll start to understand better what your role on the planet is. And sometimes it's to do nothing, my friend, for others. All right, I hope that helps. Okay, let's see. Okay, it looks like Athena is up. All right. All right, let's do this. I love your name, by the way. Okay, Athena, you come through as an expert mentally. And I feel that the information that you tout or that you're dean about, and rightfully so, I'm going to say, is all spiritual information. Hang on, I'm going to talk to your higher self. I'm going to see what you do on the astral. Hang on. On the astral plane, you teach a lot, okay? Those of you that aren't familiar with the astral plane, you might want to go back to some of our earlier shows with the very real Victoria and the very fictitious Ishtar. You might want to go back because there is a show on the astral plane. It'll make a little bit more clear what I'm talking about as I read Athena. So, honey, the first thing that you show me is that you really do have a lot of great information, and you instantly point to what you're doing on the astral plane with it. You are a teacher there. One of the things you teach is transformative change. So you might actually be Yvette's teacher on the astral because she's running that orange. So when you're not here in your body, Athena, and you're on the astral plane, like when you're asleep, that's one of the main things you do. You teach us all how to change, okay, here on Earth, right? So we come to your class as souls, and then when we come back into our bodies in the morning, we understand better how to change, okay? So that's the very first thing that you seem to declare about yourself. And hang on, I feel you're going somewhere with this, so hang on. It has to do with your mother. And I feel that part of it's almost like this. The real you on the astral has a lot of seniority and status, right? And yet I feel that here on Earth with the mother that you picked this time, there's been contention there. In other words, finding your seniority with your mom, okay? Now, I'm just going to say to everyone that's listening, this isn't unusual. Now, let's think about this from a metaphysical standpoint, this idea of energetic fields. Now, we were conceived, gestated, and probably pretty much most of us were raised by our mothers. You know, like our physical bodies were close to her physical body, okay? Those three things, the conceiving, gestating, and living with your mother, makes her energy the most difficult for you to discern between your own, even through your entire incarnation. And I'll go farther, I don't think that we ever do. That's why the soul that we pick to be our mothers is so very, very important. So, Athena, for you to find your female power, that wisdom that you do have on the astral, it has to do with you separating out from your mother's energy, okay? Now, I'll tell you a great gemstone that's going to do that for you. It's citrine, C-I-T-R-I-N-E, okay? And now let me ask Anki Yaya what else will help with this. Okay, great. There's a workshop that I did. It's called Honor Thy Mother. And producer Pele is going to send it to you. And whenever you're ready, I know Mother's Day is coming up in May, so maybe you'll listen to it then. No matter how you feel about your mom here on Earth, for you to find your seniority with all of your great spiritual information, there just needs to be some separation. It doesn't mean that you're at odds with her or that you totally love her or that you totally, you know, dislike her. That's not the issue here on Earth at all. Instead, by listening to the meditation that producer Pele will send you, it's actually a workshop. You really have to, you know, you do some, you know, write some stuff down, and it's not just a meditation. This will help you find that seniority so that you can start feeling that you really, almost bringing some of that seniority and great spiritual information here on Earth, you know, starting to feel more like you have spiritual information. When you ask a question in your space, you get an answer that's helpful, right? And then even branching out and doing that for other people as your incarnation continues. So Anyway, I hope that helps you, honey. Like I said, stay on the line and make sure producer Pele gets your email so we can send that workshop off to you. Okay, I think we have time for one more, and it is Sophia. All right, let's take a look. All right, Sophia. Sophia, honey, you just came out of a growth period, and I felt that you feel you were in it too long. Like whatever your last growth was, the thing that, and I'll tell you how you'll know it, because it made you feel icky. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. So a lot of times when our soul vibration takes a really big step up, and then the soul tries to come back into our body, it affects the body. It might make it sick or depressed or something like that. It make you feel icky. So the last growth period you had, your soul felt, your higher self, felt that it took too long, right, to get through the growth. So that's the first thing you say. So we're going to talk, I'm going to read what it is, what suggestions your soul has for you here on earth about the growth that you'll continue through your life. And let's see how that goes. Hang on. Okay. First of all, and maybe most important, your soul says to get the growth that you're looking for, step more into your role as a healer. So, because you show me that beautiful indigo blue. That's the healing energy, indigo blue. For you to move through your growth quicker on the earth plane is to embrace more your role as a healer on the earth. A great gemstone for you is lapis, okay? And also to follow up on that, Anki Yaya also says to find your meditation space. So I'm going to tell you what I'd like to do for you. I'd like producer Pele to send you the first three classes of my online program and a beginning meditation that uses the tools from those first three classes. And then you can definitely use that along with the lapis to and that's really all it is. It's about going forward, how the suggestions that your soul gives you here on earth is to step more into your role as a healer and find your meditation space. So I hope that helps. And again, we'll send you some classes and a meditation that might help. All right. Excellent. All right, producer Pele, did I get them all? I did. All right. Well, I really like that format. I hope you guys enjoyed and got something out of the readings. I'll tell you what. Feel free to go to our Facebook page. It's Golden Rose Psychic Radio on Facebook. And if you got a reading, go ahead and post up there how you felt about it, maybe if it resonated with you or not. If you'd like to get a reading next week, go ahead and post too. Maybe you can work a little bargain with producer Pele and get in the queue. All right, let's see. I think we're just about wrapping up here. All right. So I hope you're enjoying the new format. And again, please follow us on Facebook. We'd love to get your input on anything you'd like us to add or subtract from the show. Whoa, there's my theme song. I love that. That's our show this week. Remember, check us out on the web, laurenzielo.com and goldenrose.com. We'd like to thank 3Point Virtual, the Women's Movement Radio Network, producer Pele, for making it all happen. You know what? I like my new solo show. Thank you guys for listening. We'll call it a healing. Yo!